Lenin saw disaster. Lenin in constancy followed the master.
Oh, I stand before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Drawn by the Spirit, and nothing is a coincidence, but it is all part of the divine plan in these last days, that Father, we may be fed with your manna. And Lord, we thank you that you are guiding and leading us by your Spirit. And Lord, tonight we desire that you are lifted up and glorified. Thank you, Father, that you go before and you prepare the way. Help us to hear in the heart, we ask now in Jesus' name. In the mighty name of Jesus, hallelujah. Praise his name. Well, I have a title tonight that we're going to have a look at and teach on. And we're calling this, We Don't Know Where We Are Going. We don't know where we are going, that is, as pilgrims in this life. We of course ultimately know, and God has given quite a lot through the Deeper Life teaching, what we're destined for, that is the throne of God, the bride of Christ, the overcomers, the first fruits. That is what we're pressing in for and believing for. But as pilgrims in this life, we don't know where we are going. And that is how God has purposed and planned all the saints' life and walk. And let us just turn to something familiar in Hebrews 11. I want to look at verse 8. And of course, we know who we're referring to. A saint who was called and didn't know where he was being led. And it says here, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. And by faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, and the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Have we lost sound, did I see? Have we got sound okay? Okay, right. The title I'm calling this is We Don't Know Where We Are Going. And I'm looking at Hebrews 11, verses 8 through to 10. Hallelujah. Now, the question that I raise this evening is, as a pilgrim, which we're called to be, is this your experience? Or do you have your life mapped out and planned accordingly? Because this is the question that we have to raise tonight, and we have to really think about. Are we allowing our footsteps to be guided by God, or are we in control of our lives and our destiny and our future? That is the question. And if you know you are being led by God each day, then that again is a supernatural experience with God that flesh and blood cannot work out, but can only be achieved and done by the Holy Spirit in your life, individually and corporately. So is this your experience? You see, there's no logic or explanation if asked. Why? Because God is not going to tell you where he's going to lead you or guide you. And one of the hardest questions in ministry is, what are you going to do? You don't know in ministry. I don't know in ministry. If anybody asks me, well, what are you going to do? What are your plans for the future in ministry? I have no idea. But God does. And my faith and my trust is in him. And but I believe that my feet are led and guided by him. But as far as my ideas of future, I have no idea. And doesn't that look a failure in the eyes of the world? Because that's exactly what people will ask. That is what they will ask in the world. Well, what is your purpose? What is your aim as a minister and as a church? What are you doing? What are you aiming for? What projects do you have for the future? And so it goes on. I have no idea. And they look at you and take one step back and think, who is this person? And I've encountered that over the years. A lot of people want to know who we are, what we stand for, what is actually the teaching. Are you fundamentalists or evangelicals or charismatics or whatever it is? I won't enter into any of those labels that man likes to put. He likes to put a title to everything. And you see, God won't let that happen to us in this walk. They may try to put a title. They may try to work out what we're doing, but they won't get it very far. Why? Because we walk by faith and not by sight. So I haven't got a clue. The only question that you can say is, God knows. We don't know what God is going to do next. None of us know what tomorrow holds. And yet the world out there likes to think it has tomorrow, next week, next year, 10 years down the line, all under control, and it will all come to pass and will happen in lives. And man gets so frustrated because his plans are thwarted. But he's blind to see that there is a God on the throne who leads and guides and directs. But sadly, that oppression, it can be found in the house of God and still with professing Christians. We have to learn to take each day by faith, and how God leads and guides us accordingly to that day. We don't know what God is going to do next. Each day should be going out in faith. And that is the principle of our life and walk. When you wake up, is your heart's desire is, this day I go out and I walk this day by faith for the glory of God. How do we know? Because we've just read it here in verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. He knew there was a place, there was an inheritance, but that's all that was given. That is the revelation of his Bible of that time. He didn't hold 66 books like you do tonight with the Bible. He had that. And he walked by faith on those few words. In obedience, we're told. And by faith he dwells in the land of promise. In a foreign country. So God moved him like he does with us. He takes us into unusual, different situations, circumstances and places where we can sometimes feel a foreigner, We feel we're like a duck, a fish out of water. It seems strange. Why am I going on this journey? Why has God led me this way? It doesn't make any sense. But that is how God works. And often he's looking ultimately from obedience from us. That is what he's looking for. So faith should be going out. We're to take no thought every day that we go out into this world and face whatever there is. We should take no thought. We should not prepare. We should totally trust God that he is in control, leading, guiding, and directing us. And yet, for some, that can be frightening. And yet, what does he say in things that are so familiar here in Matthew 6, verse 25 to 34? 25 to 34, he says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying what we shall eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So there we are, brothers and sisters. Do not worry. Do not plan. Do not consider any of these things. What is it actually indicating? What is the deeper meaning behind this? It means to get free from these things that the world is consumed in. It means to get free to grow up into sonship so that these things are not a hindrance to the walk that God really has for us. Too many believers, Christians, are hindered in their walk because they're still bound in fear and worry about tomorrow, where the next bill is going to be paid, and all the usual everyday things that we need in which to survive. He says, don't even consider them. Don't worry about it. Life will still go on, all the while the Lord tarries. And so he's showing us that we can rise above all of this and start to seek the deeper, more important things that pertain to the kingdom. Because the nature of these verses that I've just read causes you to be inward looking, consumed with self. It's a hindrance to developing and growing spiritually into sonship. If the enemy can hold you in all of this that I have just read, this is what stunts a brother or sister growing in faith. Because you cannot see the bigger picture, which is the kingdom of God. These things that the world worries about is all so much about the kingdom of self, me, my needs. It keeps you selfish, inward-looking. And God is still delivering us from this. Yes, even in FGA, so that we can see that there is a much bigger picture. God is infinitely greater and bigger. He loves me. He's made no mistake over my life. He will provide abundantly. Let's move on, because it's a bigger picture. What does it say also wait a minute, I've just read this. Let's turn to James. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Again, we know these well. Verses 13 to 15 of James chapter 4. 13 to 15. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy, sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But you now boast about your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So it's interesting in the reference here, those that plan their lives often are found boasting about it, because it's what I'm doing, it's me that's in control. And therefore, again, it is very evident that God doesn't get the glory. We are coming to a place, brothers and sisters, where we're going to see that each day is a gift from God. Each day is a day extra added in my life to walk with God. And I cannot think about tomorrow, next week, next year. I may not be here. I'm sure those that were under persecution, many Christians that were martyred for the faith, certainly knew this experience. They knew what it was not to plan too far ahead, because they faced persecution. Many of them were scattering, fleeing for their lives. We don't know what the future holds for us if the Lord tarries. We're often so complacent about in the West. We're so democratic and we've got freedom and liberty and order and democracy and so on. But all of these things that we've relied upon are rapidly changing. As the spirit of Antichrist, that demon, is beginning to move and move over the face of the earth, and it is. The only reason that it hasn't taken over finally, completely, is because of the overcomers, the prayers of the saints, that still hinder, stop it from eventually taking over. Are you asking God what he's going to do? It's a good question. Well, I've got news for you. He'll never tell you, because you walk by faith. If you're trying to seek God about the future, what will next week, what are you saying about next week or next month, Lord, or whatever it will be, I have news for you, God will remain silent. The enemy may suggest to you some things, but God doesn't. God wasn't even going to tell Abraham, who walked and stepped out, only that there's a land of promise. And he walked in faith and obedience and looked to the one who made that promise. And it's the same principle with us as well. He'll never tell you. He will reveal to us who he is and what he's capable of doing. And that's the word of God. He most certainly reveal that he's a God of miracles, that he can move those mountains, he can part the seas. All of that is well recorded. But he's never going to tell you what he's going to do. You see, you will come to the place where you no longer are surprised at what he does. This is what will happen if you are really walking by faith. You will not be surprised what God does, or where he takes you, or who you meet, or whatever it is you encounter. You will automatically know that God is here on the scene in this. This is God doing it. Or this person I'm talking to now, God has arranged that. You won't think it strange, odd, or peculiar. It is the life that I walk with God. That is, if we're seeking the kingdom. You see, our life should be a continual going out. It's not a going out of duty or being religious or because of your convictions or whatever it is. You move out because Jesus is there. Because he's the object of our faith. The reason that I move out by faith this day is because of Jesus, the one I walk with in covenant, in fellowship. My eyes are upon him and none other. That's the walk that he has set for us. And this has to be worked on. And it starts by not knowing where you are going. When you settle that one, when you die to that, and you stop planning your life, you then are going to start to see Jesus in a different way. You're going to start to see more of your life and walk each day, moving out by faith, being supernatural. That flesh and blood could not do this. This was of God. But all the while the enemy keeps us bound in worry, anxiety about our life, worried about our family, our husband, our wife, our children, or whatever it is, caught up in all of that, you cannot be free to walk by faith. This is why God sets the sword of the Spirit right in the family unit. I know this sounds absolutely controversial, but God knows exactly what he's doing, because they are often the biggest hindrances to our walking by faith and obedience before God. It's come to separate. And we know what this separation means. It means a separation of affection, control in the heart. It's a separation where I have been set free to put the kingdom of God first, which will encompass your family, your loved ones. But we've got it round the wrong way. And we still allow the anxiety, the fears, the controls that work. I'm convinced this is why some of our loved ones aren't manifested and coming into the kingdom of God yet. Because we can't let go of them. They have to be totally let go by faith, trusting God that he will bring them in, that their salvation is secure, their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But worry, anxiety is a killer in this. So we need to experience this, brothers and sisters. We don't know where we're going. You don't have to explain or justify when it's faith, because you don't know where you are going. Jesus never got into trying to explain or justify himself or his ministry. You read in the Gospels, they were constantly asking him questions. Who are you? And whatever it is and so on. Most of the time he didn't answer them. He wasn't going to get caught in to all of that, because he was walking by faith. He was waiting for the next thing that the Father was going to do and reveal. He knew that his walk and ministry, they could never begin to understand unless the Spirit reveals it. Flesh and blood cannot see this. Flesh and blood, and this is why your family cannot understand you. They love you, but they cannot understand your walk, because it isn't revealed unless God opens the eyes. But you see, you're hearing. You've just got to allow the Holy Spirit to work it and to take over in your life. It doesn't make sense. None of it does. But it is the wisdom of God. It is his will. It is what glorifies him. And that's the question to all of this. So we don't have to justify any of this. And thank God we don't, because we don't know where we're going. All we know is our eyes are seeking the kingdom, and one day I shall see him face to face. That's all we live for. Very often we are building for God, but we don't see the finished results until years later. The church has been centuries in building. It's a type of ark, as we know. But the church, since Peter's revelation of the church, the rock, and Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, my called out people, it's been a work in progress. Building, building. It doesn't really know where it's going. That is the true remnant. But one thing it does know is it's preparing the saints for glory. That's why you cannot plan it. That's why you cannot control it. That's why you cannot organize it. Because all of those things that man tries to do, it's created a false harlot. It's called denominationalism. Because man wants to be in control of it. He wants to be in control of God. He wants to be in control of the church's destiny, its evangelization, its ministry, and so on. And so it becomes fleshly, worldly, harlotry. God won't let any of that happen to this and other assemblies who are called out by the Spirit of the living God. Why? Because we walk by faith. We don't know where we're going. This is why it's like a type of an ark, that God is working with us here. We know back in Hebrews 11 verse 7. Hebrews 11 verse 7. It says, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and because and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. There you are. Just simply started to build as God gave him that wisdom and guidance. But he didn't know what the finished result was going to be. He hadn't got a clue whether this thing was going to be buoyant. It would rise above the tide, or whether it would sink, or whatever it was. He'd never seen floods before, or water rising up like this. But he built it by faith. The same as FGA is being built by faith. The remnant in the last day, the called out people, the church, the bride that's making herself ready, is doing it by faith. So, it's not knowing then where you are going. And when you do not know where you are going, but that you know that you walk by faith and faith alone, this stops one from planning and scheming. If your life is still filled with planning and scheming, it is a sign you have not yet learned to walk by faith. We're going to look at some areas in this. Firstly, we have to, if people ask us or ask of things, or they want to plan things with us, or they want us to go on holiday with them and all this sort of thing, we don't give an answer straight away. Take everything to God in prayer, commit it before him and leave it there and wait. Because the enemy will get us caught up in worldly pursuits. And we haven't time for it. We are men and women that walk each day by faith. It's a faith walk. And so these things that people want of us, and they will do. And the reason that I say this is because Christians, believers, are very attractive to a lot of the world. We come over pretty caring, loving, thoughtful. This is what God has done in our lives, and that can be very attractive. And people want to be around you who are like that. Because, and why? Because the world is getting worse. It's getting harder, more deceitful, falling away. So this world is falling away, and with what God is doing in our lives, we need to be on our guard, because people are going to find us very attractive. They will want to be around us. They will want our time. They will want to be in our presence. And so we need to be on our guard with this. God has been opening my eyes to this one, and I know because I've been going through this myself. So I'm speaking from personal experience. And you can easily get trapped and caught into things that just, it doesn't glorify the Lord. So we must be on our guard with this, brothers and sisters. So whatever people ask, and they will, never give an answer straight away. You'll come back to them. You'll wait, because you go before God. You seek his mind, his leading, his guidance. This is paramount now, because it's easily to get trapped and caught into things, and then you get out of the will of God and you lose your peace and so on. So that's a first area that we need to guard by. Secondly, testimony is all about God and not me or self or my achievements. So then, in other words, my walk, which is a walk of faith, is glorifying God. and that will speak for itself. The world in time will see that. Why? Because it's not like the world walks. You are walking a supernatural, miraculous walk. Obeying the Holy Spirit, eyes on Jesus, and that will be seen. And I believe God really wants to start to do this with FGA. If we want to see breakthroughs in our life, our walk, our ministry with God, this is the key to this. That every day we wake up, I walk this day by faith, guided, led by the Holy Spirit. And we need to settle that one, that God will work that in and through us. And thirdly, not knowing where you're going throws you upon his mercy and grace. Because there are going to be times when you will miss it. There are going to be times when you've fallen short. There are going to be times when he's going to work deliverance. Letting go, as I spoke of earlier, is often that deliverance. So not knowing where I'm going, not planning my life, works his grace and mercy over my life. It actually begins to deliver me and set me free. Sometimes we can't get the deliverances and changes because we still want to know what he's doing and what he's going to do and when he's going to do it and so on. And that's why nothing happens. That's why no changes come. So we have got to learn that by not knowing where we're going, but we simply walk by faith, this will also not only enable me to experience his mercy and grace even more, but to bring me through deliverances, changes. Because if I'm planning my life, I'm going to stop certain things that God wants me to go through, which is going to be a means of deliverance. When I let go of all of that, then God is going to let me go through certain experiences because that will be my deliverance. But we try and stop that. But a man or woman of faith will have such faith and trust in God that whatever the trial will be, it will not consume me or burn me up. I know about this, what I'm speaking about, my trial that I went through 3 years ago when I was taken to mediation over my mother's estate. I could have walked away from it and just let the lawyers do what they have to do. Or I could allow the Holy Spirit to take me through so that he would be glorified in this. I had a choice. But because my eyes were upon Jesus, I knew the route that he had for me. And I was going to trust him and look to him. I wasn't going to try and work it out. It wasn't my concern. All it was to walk with him by faith and he will deal with the rest. I had a choice in that, brothers and sisters. And as a result of that, it also wrought a big deliverance in me of a lot of fear and anxiety and depression. It was a very big deliverance. I experienced some of the grace and mercy of God like I've never done before. But had I chosen a different path, which I could have, I would have not had the same experience. Need to let God take over. Because his presence provides for everything in this life. If we're walking the walk that he wants of us, then his presence is with us, even if we're going to be put in prison. How do we think those saints rejoiced and praised God when they were put in prison? How do we think that the Apostle Paul, with all the burdens of the church, wrote one of the greatest epistles, the church at Ephesus, the prison epistle, if he wasn't experiencing the Lord's presence? He probably couldn't have survived it otherwise. And the conditions were intolerable. But he was not fighting against it. That is where the Lord was with him, right in prison. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, thrown into the fiery furnace, didn't fight against it. The Lord was with them in the flames. Because they had learned to walk by faith. And it's the same principle for you and I, brothers and sisters. It is no different. Your life at the moment may seem very dull. Very little seems to be happening, or whatever it is. But that isn't a problem if you walk daily with the Lord's presence in your life, in fellowship, in harmony, in oneness and unity with him. You see, if we're not experiencing him like that, we're always going to look for alternative things to stimulate us. Because that's human nature. Again, don't work these things out. The Lord has it under control. And he's going to guide our steps. But the question is, as I finish now this evening, is this our experience? Because if it isn't, God wants that to be. There's no logic or explanation about this walk. Don't ask where he's going to lead or guide you, because he's not going to answer you. Don't try and justify. Don't try and keep people quiet or give them an answer or whatever it is. You don't have to. I simply this day walk with the Lord. And that's what salvation is about. That's why you and I have been called from the foundation of the world. And let him be God and let him do the rest. In your life, he will feed you, he will clothe you, he will protect you, he will provide for all the needs that are in this life, and he will give you a greater revelation, a greater understanding of himself, his glory, his majesty. You'll be wrapped around with his presence. And whatever experience you go through, whatever trial you go through, you will know that you are not alone in this trial, but that he's with you. I am convinced there's more and more to this to experience. We're just on the threshold of entering into a greater experience and understanding of all of this. But we've got to let go. We've got to stop asking questions. Just trust him that he will lead and guide me each day. And that faith is going out each day. And I'm convinced we will begin to see our faith even more active. With these wonderful testimonies of God's faithfulness and what he's done. And doing. We're to take no thought, as we've read in Matthew 6. We're not to boast about tomorrow or try to work things out, plan our lives, as James 4 tells us. And we don't ask God what he's going to do next. Why? Because he's never going to tell you. Hallelujah. Heavenly, again tonight we thank you for exhorting us, encouraging us in the word. Father, forgive us, Lord, that we still want to be in control of our lives, planning, future and everything. Forgive us, Father, that we at times go out of the will of God. And sometimes we do it because we just want a break. We want something different. We want a bit of excitement in our lives. But Lord, forgive us because we're not fully seeing and appreciating your presence in our lives. That is the greatest, greatest gift man can ever, ever have in the universe, is to have Jesus in our lives and walking with him in covenant. Father, forgive us at times that we can be so ungrateful, so blind to this. You are our all sufficiency. We have no need of anything else because we have Jesus. Father, please work this word into our lives and hearts that we've listened to tonight. Let it, each of us, be our experience that will glorify your name. For this we ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Before you and cradled in the love of Jesus.